Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, tonight is Thursday, April the 13th, 2017. And yes, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. And yes, we are coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan. We come to you live each Thursday and each Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. We have my special guest on. She's standing by. And another person, and the person of another internet radio host, my sister in the Lord, Sister Abby Phelps. She's standing by. She's going to be bringing the message on tonight, the Word of God. But before she comes forth with the Word on tonight, I'm asking all listeners, if you would do as I always ask, please get your Bible, your sword, get your Bibles out, your pens and paper, so that you can take your notes and follow along with her as she brings forth the Word on tonight, that you can read it for yourself. You can see what she is saying to us as the Lord is using her as a mouthpiece, as a vessel, that you can follow along with her as you read it for yourself. So get your Bible out. You're going to need it on tonight, as always, when you tune into this radio broadcast. All my guests, you need your Bibles and pens and paper out, because they always come forth with the Word of God, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But before she comes on, we're going to do as we always do. We always open up with prayer. So I'm going to ask all listeners to go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and our soon-coming King. It's in that name, Jesus Christ, that we come once again. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who and all that you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you are the great I am. Oh, God, we just ask that you will continue to move by your Spirit through us on tonight as your word goes forth through your vessel. But before we move any further with this program on tonight, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, starting with myself. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me of all of my sins and transgressions. Then I lift up my entire family to you, Heavenly Father, forgive them. And then also I lift up my guest on tonight, Sister Effie Phelps. Forgive her and her family of all their sins and transgressions. Heavenly Father, that your word may not be hindered on tonight, that everything that you set forth to do in the earth would be accomplished through your vessel on tonight. So that's why we pray now and ask for forgiveness of our sins, so that we, and also we ask Heavenly Father that you would help us to decrease so that you may increase in us even on tonight. And oh God, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray that should there be one that's listening on tonight that do not have a relationship with your Son Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name, we pray, Lord, that their spiritual blindness will be removed on tonight. After hearing the word, they can truly say that I was once blind, but now after hearing the word on tonight, I can see. And they will open their mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask to be saved in his name on tonight. For we know that you're the same God. You have no respect of persons. You're still saving today, Heavenly Father. For we know that it is your desire that no soul be lost. So that is my desire and also the desire of my guests on tonight, that no soul be lost on tonight, Heavenly Father. So we ask that you are moved by your Spirit, that your word will go forth with power on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are listening, and not even those that may not be listening on tonight. We pray and lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver, Heavenly Father, as only you can. We lift up all those that are bereaved and are suffering a loss of loved ones, whatever this case may be, Heavenly Father, all over the land. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to touch their hearts and minds, to remind them and let them know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And we pray, Lord, you will comfort and strengthen each one of them as only you can in Jesus' name. And we lift up all those that are incarcerated, all those that are in shelters. We pray, Lord, that you would just move by your Spirit. Have your way over the airwaves on tonight. We pray and lift up all those that are being doers of your word on tonight all over the land. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless and have your way in Israel and Jerusalem, for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Just have your way on tonight. And we just give your name praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for your grace and mercy towards each one of us. We know we're not worthy of it. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that he is risen. Yes. He has risen from the dead, and he is no longer in the grave. We know that he has risen. He has the victory over hell, death, and the grave in his hands. And he has risen from the dead. He is alive now, and he's sitting at your right hand making intercession for the saints of God on tonight. So we thank you for that. Our Lord and Savior and our soon-coming King, Jesus Christ, is risen from the dead, just like he said he would. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that that blood of Jesus still works. It still works today, and it will never lose its power. So we just thank you for the blood of Jesus, that he paid our sin debt with his own blood, which he did not have to do because of love. We thank you, Jesus, that you did it for us. We just give your name praise, glory, and honor. We just ask you to have your way tonight, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen. Well, again, we have another spiritual food for thought. Our spiritual food for thought tonight comes to us, and it says, even when we can't feel his presence, even when we can't feel his presence, sometimes we don't feel like God is there. But the spiritual food for thought for tonight tells us, even when we can't feel his presence, he is always there. Yes, he is. I'm a living witness. He is always there. And so I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants. Ambassadors, vessels, and then click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. In the form of announcement, I have two announcements tonight. And the first announcement, I am so excited, and I am so happy for my biological youngest sister and my sister in the Lord, because she is saved And I know this will affect. She is my baby sister, and I thank God for his anointing on her life. She is the author of three books also, but the Lord has anointed her, and she's a screenplay writer. So the Lord has blessed her to write an upcoming gospel stage play. My younger sister, Danetta Burney, presents Opposite Ends of the Bridge. And this gospel stage play is going to mend and bring back, reunite families and ministries and marriages and everything that the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy that God has put together. The enemy is trying to divide and steal. But this play, Opposite Ends of the Bridge, is going to bring everybody back together to the Lord first, and then families and communities and ministries and communities will be mended back together through this play. And that's the purpose of this play. And so I thank God for her, Sister Danetta Burney. This gospel stage play, it's titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. God is truly going to be glorified through it, and it's going to be taking place on Saturday, May 13th, and then also on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 14th, 7 p.m. nightly. And this play will be taking place at the Northwest Activity Center, Paul Robeson Theater, again, Saturday, May 13th, and also on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 14th, at 7 p.m. nightly at the Northwest Activity Center Theater. You can purchase your tickets through God's World on West 7 Mile Road in Detroit, Michigan, and Globe Bible Bookstore, which is located on East Jefferson in Detroit, Michigan. Or for those that would like to go to your computers, you can go to eventbrite.com. Again, eventbrite.com. For those of you that would like more information, you can call area code 313-231-4302. Again, for those of you that would like to purchase your tickets in Detroit, you can go to God's World Bible Bookstore on West 7 Mile, Globe Bible Bookstore on East Jefferson in Detroit, and also for those of you like to go through your computers and order them over the internet, you can go through or go to eventbrite.com. My final announcement is I am so thankful to God that He's has anointed me and blessed me enough to be able to and gave me the strength and really guided me into completing part two of Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? Part two is titled, Are You Scattering God's Flock? So I thank God for that. That book is now also available with my first book, which is titled, which is the title of this gospel and worldwide platform internet radio show, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? You can also get the Reflective Journal with the same title. And then now He has blessed me to finish part two, which is titled Are You Scattering God's Flock? And also know that my fourth book, which is titled God, the Universe, and Man, the subtitle of that is How We Are Connected. All of these books the Lord has blessed me and anointed me to write, and they are all available through Amazon.com. So I thank God for what He is doing in my life, and my prayer is that He will continue to bless me and use me as He sees fit, that I can be a blessing to the kingdom of God and the body of Christ, that He will be glorified through me and my purpose will be fulfilled in the earth for His glory. So I thank God for what He's doing in my life and my family's life and all those that are in the body of Jesus Christ being doers of God's word without hidden motives and agendas. I thank God for what He's doing in each of our lives individually, then as a corporate body. So right now, I am so pleased to bring forth my sister in Christ, my sister in the Lord, another internet radio host. Her show title is Manna from On High, and this is none other than Sister Abby Phelps, again, my sister in Christ, internet radio host of Manna from On High. Sister Abby Phelps is my special guest on tonight, and she's going to be bringing the word in a few minutes. But before she bring the word, I'm going to ask my sister, Sister Abby Phelps, if you could please, as we always do with all my guests, I'm going to ask if you would please share with us a short testimony first. And then after your short testimony, I'm going to do a music break. And then following the music break, I'm going to come back. Then I'm going to yield the mic to you so that you can deliver God's word on tonight. But before I have you share your testimony, for those of you that are listening, if we have time at the conclusion of her message on tonight, for those of you that would like to call in, if you would have comments or feedback for her, this is the number you would need to dial. You need to have a pen and paper so you can take this down, because you're really going to need it for the word as well, so you can follow along with her as she brings forth the word on tonight. But for those of you that would like to call in and share comments and feedback with her after the word, if we have time, this is the number you would need to dial. Area code 657-383-1364. Again, 657 area code 383-1364 is the number you would need to dial. If we have time at the conclusion of her message, I will open up the phone lines for comments and feedback from listeners. But right at this moment, I'm so pleased to have Sister Abby Phelps. She's going to come to us and share with us a short testimony first, and then I'm going to do a music break, and then we'll come back to her following the music break. But first, your testimony.
Oh, yes, well, praise the Lord, Brother Brown. It's always a blessing and a pleasure to be on your show with you and to share a word from God to our listening audience. And I can just say that I am that testimony, all proof and nothing phony. Let me tell you something about how when the enemy rushes in like a flood, know that God has a high stake waiting for you to be raised upon. And as we grow from grace to grace. We grow from truth to truth. We grow from faith to faith. And I have experienced miracles in the lives of those who God has blessed me to minister and to prophesy through. And I mean, ways of breakthrough, Brother Brown, I can tell you that so many individuals that we were praying that prayer of prosperity, that God blessed them with employment, that God broke the hands of the enemy off their family, those chains that had them bound emotionally where they were not able to move forward and they were at a standstill, they were breaking in all the wrong areas and aspects of their life. God truly did a great work through the power of his word. And you know, the Lord spoke to us in his word. He said, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established, and the light of God shall shine upon thy path. And I've been seeing that light. It's not a flashlight. It's the sunlight of Jesus Christ, because we know that it's through love that God so loved us to the point he couldn't even explain it, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the life that keeps on living because his love, it keeps on giving. So I've been just witnessing the very, very testimonies, miraculous breakthroughs that so many of the listeners to Matters from On High, and even those that I've counseled with and prayed with, have received. And to me, that's food for my soul. That's letting me know to hold my head up high and to continue to proclaim his name and to walk by faith, not by sight. And even as an educator in the public school sector, our babies are making progress is by leaps and bounds. We're seeing those dark barriers, those dark circumstances being broken down. And that is my testimony, that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. So glory to his name. And he just keeps on doing great things for me. I just cannot tell it all. And I'm telling you that even so, in doing God's work and putting him first in my life and putting the very needs of others before myself, God has removed various hindrances, various blockades in my life, and has given me breakthroughs that I cannot explain with my natural mind and don't want to, because when you look upon the Lord and receive from the Lord, you receive with a heavenly mind. And I'm just thankful tonight to be with you and to be with the listening audience, and let's move forward. Amen and amen again.
Amen. What a powerful testimony on tonight. But you know what? I just have to touch and agree with you, because what you just said on tonight just confirms, and you don't know this, and my bishop don't know this, but that showed you how the Lord works, and he always confirms his word. What you just said in your testimony, at the end, at the conclusion of your testimony, you said God is able to do abundantly, exceedingly, all that we can ask or think. That is exactly what my bishop's Sunday message was this past Sunday. That was his title of his message, God is able. And so I thank God for that. That's how the Lord works. And that's just more confirmation that when we're being doers of his word, without hidden motives and agendas, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think by the powers that worketh in us. So we thank God for this worldwide platform and this opportunity that we can be doers of his word and share the good news of Jesus Christ without hidden motives and agendas, that God be glorified through us. And that's what it's really all about. God being glorified Amen. Through us, that we are being doers of his word and drawing souls to Jesus Christ through the word, that souls are being saved even today. Because for such a time as this, we know that Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, he is coming again soon and sooner than people think. So we got to keep on praying for our president and world leaders, that they make the right decisions, because the enemy, he's still seeking whom he may devour, and he's still seeking, and he's still roaring with like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yes. He have not changed. He still have power. No. But thank God, the great I am, our creator, our heavenly father, he have all power. He's the great I am. Yes. I am that I am. Yes. Thank God for the word. Thank God I know the word. The word is in me because Jesus Christ is the living word.
Right.
And he
That's
is
right.
the
That's
word.
Right.
And so I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that still works. Thank God that Jesus Christ is soon coming again to receive his, to take us back to glory, those that have confessed him with their mouths and are being doers of his word in the earth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. So right now, we're going to go forth with our music break on tonight. And I just love this song, and I think that you would really love it too, because it's really fitting for the upcoming Sunday, our upcoming Easter Resurrection Sunday. And I thank God for this song. I thank God for the blood of Jesus that still works and it would never lose its power. So enjoy this song before we come forth with the word on tonight, and let it minister to you so you can reflect on the word and receive the word as it's come forth through our woman of God on tonight. So here's our song for the night, Worth Living.
You thought I was to die for. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was the devil. Thought I was the devil. Oh, you thought I was the devil. You thought I was the devil.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. On tonight, Jesus Christ, he thought our life was living, that he sacrificed his life for us, and he died. He hung, bled, and died for us. He paid the ultimate price for our sins with his own righteous, holy, precious blood. And he redeemed, we are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are connected back to our Heavenly Father, our Creator, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can be saved. Yes. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank God that he thought our life was worth living, that he died for us, and that he not only died, but he rose for us. And he's now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, even tonight, right now. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, again, you're listening to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show on Thursday night, April 13th, 2017. I am your executive director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. And I do want to make this final announcement before my guest comes forth with the word, Sister Abby Phelps, that I am going to be her special guest on her show, Manna from On High, on next Saturday, April the 22nd at 5 p.m. I am going to be her special guest on her show. So I'm so excited for her being my guest on tonight. So we have that type of relationship in the Lord that we can connect with each other and be on each other's shows. And I thank God for that connection. And I thank God that we are both saved in Jesus' name. We are lovers and doers of Jesus Christ's word. And that's what I'm thankful that she's my sister in Christ. So right now, she is coming forth, and she's going to bring forth the word. So right now, I present to you all again my sister in Christ, Sister Abby Phelps.
Amen, and thank you and praise God for you, Brother Brown, and for the listening audience. What an exciting time to be in the body of Christ. And I'm just reminded, I was listening to that song and heeding the testimony of Brother Brown. I'm just reminded of that 18th and 19th verse of Matthew, the 28th chapter, when our Messiah, our Emmanuel, our Savior, our High Priest spoke. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded unto you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this world. Amen. So that lets us know that we serve a God. We serve a God that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That's right. And Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God in the flesh. He came in the flesh to redeem mankind. Because, see, you know what, listening audience? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's right. So the blood had to come as an act of atonement and that one meant to make us one with God the Father again, because sin has separated us from God the Father. So seeing that the prophets failed in their mission to redeem mankind, that the various spokesmen and spokeswomen that God sent had not fulfilled the promise, God knew that there had to be a change of heart. There had to be a heart transplant. There had to be a blood sacrifice that was perfect. That's like an order of priesthood even higher than the priesthood of Melchizedek. And this is the reason why John 3:16, that God says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That means you are going to go into eternity knowing that God is your Father and that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's why you're going to the kingdom of heaven to be rewarded, whether it be the white robe, which is the highest order of reward, whether it's going to be white raiment, which is going to be the very effervescence of the very ones, the matriarchs and the patriarchs who have held up the bloodstained banner, or whether you wear the white garment, you will be regarded in the kingdom of heaven. But there is a process. There is a progression that you must do. As Brother James was praying about you coming to the Lord, he that comes unto God, number one, must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when you come unto God, you must first of all admit that you know that God does exist, and acknowledging him. And then your confession is that, you know what, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's right. And then in acknowledging that you are a sinner, that we're all born unto sin and shaken unto iniquity because of the failure of the first Adam, that man of sin. That's right, who failed. So he came from the level of amazing grace to a total disgrace. That's right. We have to admit, as beautiful as babies are born into the world, as handsome as young baby male children are, as beautiful as young infant baby girls are, they are still born unto sin and shapen unto iniquity. So the only way that the stain of ugly is removed from a child, removed from an adult, is through the name of Jesus. And when we take on the confession as he being our Lord, that he is that bridge that brought us back to God the Father through his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That we acknowledge him, that he is Lord, and that God has given all power under heaven and the earth in his hands. And we confess him as Savior, that we become one with the Father again. And then the Father now can look upon us because he sees us through the eyes of his beloved and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's right. And upon our confession and our willingness, God fills us with the Holy Spirit. That's right. The Holy Spirit is the holy guiding compass, the divine teacher that leads us and guides us into all manner of truth. And then you must eat from the Word. That's right. The Word of God tells us, and Jesus Christ, our Messiah, tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's right. So the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder both bone and marrow, and even discerning the intentions of the heart. We must feed from the Word. And the more that we feed from the Word, and as Brother Brown was saying, and Apostle Paul said, you die daily. Your fleshly man, your carnal appetite, your carnal man will begin to diminish, and the glory of God will shine through your countenance, through your life. You will become that living testimony. It is an evolutionary process. You begin to evolve. The more that you diminish, the more the presence of God will shine through you and to work the spiritual gifts. That's right. The spiritual gifts are the manifestation of God's presence within you by way of the Holy Spirit. And then you must walk this life of Christianity, this life of humility, because God is going to empower you and embody within you. That's right. The power to be more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Through our hands are wrought miracles. Through our words, God honors. He fulfills prophecy. He brings into fruition our most vivid dreams, our most greatest expectations and aspirations as we walk this walk. This life is a life of rewards, rewards by God. And this is what God intended for us to do. But at the same time, that as much is given, much is required. That's right. You've got to get into the fold. So this is the altar call at the right time, the right space, and the right place. Give your life over to the Lord. Because let me tell you something. Read Matthew, the 24th chapter. We are in a time of pre and mid tribulation. Well, there's wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, nations rising against nations, household against household, false prophets coming forward. You've got to get into the ark of safety. That's right. And the only safety that we have is in the arms of God, under the blood of Jesus Christ, under the unction of the Holy Spirit. God gives his angels charge over us to protect us and to keep us in all of our ways, and when we are under the blood. And as the song said, when I see the blood, I'll pass right over you. That's why can't nothing penetrate the blood of Jesus, because it's through the blood of Jesus The very essence of evil has to depart. That's right. It's through the name of Jesus that Satan has to flee. Oh, tell me, who can stand before us when we call on his great name? Say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We have the victory. There's nothing that can stand against that name. And the word of God tells us that at the name of Jesus, say it right now, say Jesus, every knee must bow. I don't care if it's atheist, satanic, wicked, witchcraft, sorcery, idolatry. Every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. There's no way around it. He's so high, you can't get over. He's so low, can't go under. He's so wide, can't get around. You must come in at the door. So as we see these testimonies, the very witnessing of God's word in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew tells us these things. You know, it's time for those of us who have the profession of faith, who know who we are in God and know where we stand in him, it's time for us to awake. Why? It's revival time. That's why it's time for us to take the blinders off the world. It's time for us to declare the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time for us to go forward in an act of progression and become violent in our spirit and attack these evil and wicked forces that have dominated society for far too long. But see, the kingdom of heaven is suffered by this. But see, the violent take it by force. So when we get violent in our spirit, I mean, we get aggressive and get proactive and start calling on the name of Jesus and start seeing and witnessing through the power of his anointing, the power of his word, how dumb ears, that's how deaf ears were opened, how very the essence of blinded eyes were opened, how mouths that couldn't speak that had impedimencies were able to open up and to speak, how the lame would walk. That's right, how the dead were resurrected, how those who were vexed of spirits that were evil were freed from these things. We've got to get back to that old landmark, because I've found so many times, as many of us know and witness, that there has been a great power failure within the spiritual realm of things. People are getting too comfortable sitting on the benches on Sunday morning. People are too comfortable being part of established echelons and organizations. And as a result, the enemy has waxed worse and worse. That's right. And God's wrath is continually to kindle, to continually to escalate. Because why? God wants a people that are proactive, progressive, productive, or are going forth in the battle. That's right. See, the battle is not given, that's right, to the swift. That's right. It's not even given unto the strong, but to him that endures to the end, the same shall be saved or redeemed. The same shall be victorious. And as a way of getting us in that framework, that mindset of thinking, go with me to the second book of Chronicles. And I want you to go with me to the seventh chapter. That's right. And you might say, that's a very unusual place to start. Let me tell you something. The book of Chronicles connotates, it illustrates the very parallels of the things that happened after the exodus of the children of Israel out of the land of bondage, and how God allowed them to go into an area that flowed with milk and honey and great prosperity that allowed them to actually establish various kingdoms under the reign of King David. That's right. And at the same time, Solomon was being reared to become the next king. Solomon was considered or deemed as the most wisest man upon the earth until our Savior, our Messiah, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, came and dethroned him. That's right. Solomon was a very wise man. That's why he possessed a great candor of knowledge and the ability to use logic, to escalate in the way of philosophy as it flowed into a spiritual aspect or meaning reflecting the very issues and the very essence of life itself. But it got to the point with all of the greatness that God and empowered to the children of Israel. That's right, the very essence of knowledge and wisdom that Solomon had, it still was not enough. The people began to get wavered. They began to get comfortable within themselves. They became carnal-minded. They became so affluent in the things that were not beneficial to the name of God or Jehovah or Yahweh. They became so overwhelmed with their image, with their lifestyle. They became so overwhelmed with getting things as opposed to getting closer to God and establishing a relationship. And as a result of them ignoring the very presence of God, God became angry. His wrath began to kindle against them. And he began to feel as though that people were not being thankful for all that they were given and all that they had. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Here's Solomon. He saw all of these things too, and Solomon's heart became heavy. That's right, in the house of the Lord. And he definitely, because he was such an humble man with all that God had given him, God prospered him with even more knowledge, and he had more of an in-depth relationship with Solomon because he saw that there was a thirst within Solomon. But all that Solomon had with his good looks and with his knowledge and his intellect and his capacity to influence others, Solomon still admitted that he was an empty vessel, and he became grieved at the mannerism in which the children of Israel began to conduct themselves. They became idolatrous in their behavior, and it bothered Solomon. That's right, and the 12th verse says, in the second book of Chronicles, the 7th chapter, it says that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. What is God saying to Solomon? I've heard your prayer. I've seen how you tried to get the children of Israel to understand they needed to come back to the fold. They needed to come back to the love that they genuinely had when they were in a state of affliction. See, oftentimes when we're afflicted, we have financial instabilities, when we have lack in our lives and we're depressed. Oh, we love God. We praise God. We're praying. We're fasting. You know, we're doing things to get God's attention. Why? Because when we are in desperation, we need deliverance. That's right. And God in his infinite mercy allows that deliverance to come. He gives us that breakthrough for that place, that household. He gives us that financial breakthrough. He gives us that miraculous physical healing, that emotional healing. That's right. He gives us that promotion, that job we prayed for. And the minute that many of us, amen, let's tell them like it is, get that breakthrough, we get satisfied. That's right. We start to feel our oats. We start to think that we're more than we ought to feel and start treating others as though they're our inferiors. And instead of putting God first the way we did when we were in lack and we were in necessity, we begin to put God in second place. That's right. We begin to forget our first love, in which he is the source of all love. He is the definition of love. And we begin to put him secondary. That's why we start putting people, places, and things above and beyond the bar of where it originally should be. And God gets angry as he got angry with the children of Israel. And then Solomon, in his heavy heartedness, God saw him, and he dealt with Solomon. He said, you know what? If I, this is the 13th verse, shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. What is he saying now? He's saying, now, Solomon, with all that I have given my people and have done for them, and your heart has become so laden and heavy because they've become idolaters. They have begun to profane all that is good and live in a way that is not pleasing before me. It has grieved you. He said, I see them. I see them. I acknowledge their wickedness. And you know what I'm going to do? I can shut down everything. Many times God chastens us. He chastens us, Lord. He removes people from our lives. He takes things from us. He detracts some of the progressions that we were making in our prior level of existence. Sometimes he removes the affluence and the abundance as a way of getting our attention. And he's letting Solomon know, I can get their attention. I can strip them. I can cause the rain not to fall. I don't care what the weather man, the meteorologist, has predicted. If God predicates to the fact that rain cannot fall, no rain is falling. That's right. If God commands the sun not to shine, there will be no sunshine. If God does not command warmth in the weather, I don't care what the meteorologist says, there will be no warming trend in the weather. And this is what he's letting Solomon know. I am. I am that I am. I am in control. I am in command. There is none higher than I. And then Solomon, in his open heartedness, his willingness to receive the word of God, he's just saying, okay, God, I understand who you are and what you can do. But then God says in the 14th verse, if my people, we're all, those of us who are Christians, who are walking the walk as we talk the talk, we are part of spiritual Israel. That's right. He says, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. If you want some more supportive scripture, go to James, the 4th chapter and the 10th verse. It corresponds in the New Testament of what this scripture is saying. Because, see, the New Testament didn't come to obliterate or to render obsolete the Old Testament. It came to fulfill that which was spoken in the Old Testament here. So he's saying now, if my people will humble themselves, if they will confess that they have fallen away, that they have strayed away from their first love, which they declared was I, the great I Am God, that brought them out of the land of bondage and delivered them from the hand of their oppressors, if they will admit, strayed away from me, and that they began to go about in the flesh and they became carnal-minded and began appeasing their own sensual appetites, if they will confess their uncleanness to me, and the scripture tells us that he is just to forgive us, if we have committed any sin, that we should confess unto the Father. For he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's right, through whom? The blood of Jesus. So he said they will confess what they've done wrong and humble themselves and admit that they have sinned. But we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And on the fire, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, if a man said he has no sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. He said, and seek what? And pray. Men are to always pray. Pray without ceasing. This is what the word of God tells us. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we have to do 15 to 20 minute lamentations prayers. A prayer of sincerity, saying, God, give me strength. I know that I can't do it on my own. It is your will that I sustain and I be more than a conqueror. Lord, let it be. I thank you and I praise you. Amen. Making a simple petition, stating what the truth is, about how you need him to forgive you, to uphold you, to strengthen you, to be your guiding light, allow the Holy Spirit to empower you. This is what God's love, sincerity. He's not impressed with our lamentations words and our fluent speeches and our fluent language. He's impressed with the sincerity of our countenance, the sincerity of our heart. He says, with a contrite spirit and a broken heart, God, he hears us. That's why he tells us his grace is sufficient unto us and made perfect in our weakness. He says they will pray. That's right. Pray without ceasing. That's right. Pray when you don't feel like praying. Pray without ceasing means that you're praying throughout the day. Some people say, I don't know nothing to pray about. There is something always to pray about. That's right. If you're physically healthy, praise God for your physical health and pray for those who don't have wholeness in their physical health. Well, I have money. I have all my bills paid. I have money left over. Well, praise God, and then pray for those who don't have financial prosperity, and you open up your bowels of compassion and be a blessing to them. Well, you know, I have a good family life. My husband loves me. My children adore me. Well, praise God for his blessing, his provision, and then pray for those who have broken, fragmented families, dysfunctional families, and pray that God will make them ever so whole. I have a wonderful relationship with the Lord. I don't need to pray about having a better relationship with the Lord, but praise God that you have a blessed relationship with God. pray for that young lady, that young man who does not have that relationship with God, who does not have the blessedness of salvation in their life. Pray, pray, pray. Pray without ceasing. That's right. And this is the way that we keep that connection. Prayer is that wire of effective communication with God, that we're constantly talking to Him, and then the Holy Spirit back to us. Let that connection and that connectivity begin to flow and begin to grow so you can see the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of God's miracles, His dynamic breakthroughs manifest in your life. So the cycle of repetitious miracles can evolve so to the point you've got to share it with others. So he said to pray. He said, what else did he say? The third requirement was to what? Seek my face. That's right. Blessed are they. That's right. To do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. These are the Beatitudes. For they shall be filled. When you seek God's face, you're constantly hungry for His presence. You're constantly hungry to just have that intimacy with God, that mano y mano, one-on-one time. Awake. It's revival time. You're constantly looking for ways to improve yourself so that God gets the glory from your life. As Brother James was saying, that God gets the glory from the materials that I've written, the books that I've written. You're constantly looking for ways to administer to God's people because the Holy Spirit is ministering unto you, and that the seed of God must be planted so that it can be watered and expound and expel itself, just like the green bay tree of Lebanon. And this is what God wants, to seek His face. He said, because if you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. And when you're filled, that means you're running over the top. People will see the difference in you. They may not like you. They may not understand you, but they know that there is a great difference within you. Awake, it's revival time. That's why it's time to wake up out of sleep, out of that slumber, and to get busy and to get about our Father's business. Just like we do with the spring cleaning, we get rid of all those old heavy winter coats, those winter sweaters, those boots, and we take them and tie them up in bags and throw them in the abandoned part of the closet or part of the house that we don't use, and we get out the new spring outfits so that we're bursting with color, we're bursting with rhythm, we're bursting with effervescence. This is the time of revival. Why? Because after the winter has passed, everything that was dying has died, and now that it's spring, life has become apparent and evident. The beauty of nature manifests itself. Why? It is time for revival of life. It's time for revival upon the earth. The revival is that the trees are budding. That's right. The revival upon the earth is that the flowers are blooming. That's right. The revival upon earth is that the days become longer. The sun shines brighter. The weather becomes milder. Why? Because the very essence of spring has awakened, and the revival and the naturalistic aspect of things have taken place. And in our spiritual life, the same thing must be manifested as well when we seek His face. I mean, sometimes you've got to remove yourself from people, from situations, from things in order to get that mano-a-mano relationship, that intimate one-on-one relationship with God. And then the fourth requirement, he says, what? Turn from their wicked ways. That's right. The carnal mind. Let me tell you about wickedness. It doesn't mean sometimes the things that you do is sometimes the things that you desire to do. That's right. The carnal mind is enmity to God, but it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's right. So he says, and actually turn from their wicked ways. I mean, turn away from the flesh. The things that you would do, turn away from. The place that you would go that you know are detrimental to your spirit, man, that are going to diminish and deplete you of your spiritual inertia and your cosmic strength, turn away. That's right. Those crowds and those spaces and those unfamiliar places that people congregate in as a way of trying to get into your business and get you to fall astray, turn away. God is saying it's time for you to awake. You've been walking asleep for a long time. You've gotten by, but you have not gotten away. It's revival time. It's time to take off the old and put on the new. Take yourself out of those situations. Well, I can't do it, I'm too weak. Apostle Paul said, I can do all things. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Because don't forget the authority that's in his name. That's right. There is nothing that can stand up to his name. So when you say, I just can't seem to pull away from this person and from that location, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. He says, now when you do all these things, you humble yourself. That's right. Then you pray, number two, you seek his face, three, and turn from your wicked ways. He said, that's what I'm going to do. Then will I hear from heaven. God hears. That's like the most sincere prayers are two and three words, and God hears. Lord, have mercy. God knows what you need him to have mercy for and about. You don't have to go into explanations. You know something? God knows the amount of hair follicles that are upon our heads. He knows the chronological years that we're going to exist on this planetary domain. That's right. That we're going to say the lifespan that he has assigned to us. Everything is given by assignment. Nothing happens by coincidence. Amen. It happens by assignment. God has assigned us to a certain age to live, a certain way that we look, the way that we conduct our business, whether or not we're going to be ambidextrous or be able to use both hands, whether or not we're going to like certain things, tolerate certain things. God knows us. He has spiritually and physically, genetically encoded us. That's right, with his DNA, because we were made in his own image. That's right. And the RNA, that's right, also is encoded with his information. So he knows us. He knows us one and all. He says, so when you do this, I'll hear from heaven. See, not only hear from heaven, he's going to respond because he's been listening. Now he's going to act upon what your confession is, what your profession is, what your convictions are. That's the manner in which he's going to respond. He says, and I will what? Forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's right. He's saying, I'm going to fix in your life what you've been trying to fix. It keeps breaking. You tape it. It shatters. You staple it. It snaps. You put that strong glue on it, and it just broke into pieces. Everything in every situation in your life, because you turned away from your sin. You admitted that you fell short, you fell out, and you got out of fellowship. And now that you've come clean and you have admitted what your shortcomings were, I'm going to fix what's in your life. You've tried in your own strength, and the situation gets worse. That financial situation you said that you fixed, it continues to get worse and worse. That's right, that relationship you kept patching on, trying to hold together by a tailor thread, kept snaggling, getting worse and worse. That's right. Then you turned around, you tried to fix the situation at your job by doing more, but you're getting less recognition. You couldn't fix it. Now, could you? You tried to turn around and just fix yourself in such a way that people will look at you and call you more attractive. The more you put on, the more that people continue to ignore you. You can't fix it, can you? The way that you tried to get back into that love relationship that you had and you thought had it going on mighty strong, it continues to weaken, almost went to nothing. You can't do it. That's right. So listen, in your own strength, you're limited. The enemy comes in like a flood. He deceives so many. He makes them believe that they have the strength to overcome without God. Anything that you try to overcome without God is nothing but a counterfeit belief and a false statement. You can't do it in your strength. Because why? We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, people. We are wrestling against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's right. Principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in that order, in high places. And the only way that we're going to overcome these obstacles is through God and through his power in our lives. And he said, I will heal the land. I'll fix what's not right. I'll fix what has been vexing you and hexing you for so long. I will fix it so in a way that you'll know it's my hand that did it. Stop operating in your own strength. Stop walking around and believing that you are in control, because you're not. It's time for you to awake. It is revival time. And whether you know it or not, that time is winding up and winding down even the more. You know why? Because the enemy is continuing on to wax worse and worse. Why? Because he knows that his time is coming short. He knows that the day of reckoning is quickly approaching him. And what he wants to do, he wants to take so many people down, that's right, to the serpentine fire, so that they too will suffer the same eternal fate that he knows he has requested and sealed for himself. And this is the time to get revived, awake. You've been asleep for too long. Many of you might say, I'm not a sleepyhead person. I'm always conscientious of my environment, but you're not conscientious of your spiritual state of existence. That's right. You can take all of the nutrients, all the vitamins, all the supplements, and get all the exercise and eat right, but it's appointed unto a man wants to live, and after death cometh the judgment. That's right. So no matter how long you prolong the process, the appointment that God gives you, that's right, cannot be canceled. That's right, not unless God the Father says so. That's right. So listen, the third chapter of the book of Colossians, along with awake, is revival time that we have read from 2 Chronicles 7:14, verse starting in verses 12 to 14. We're going to go through the New Testament that fulfills the prophecies, the statements, the prayers, the supplications. That's right, from the Old Testament. It says, if ye then be risen,
praise the Lord, praise the Lord tonight. Praise the Lord, my sister. Praise the Lord, sister.
Praise the Lord.
We're about to run out of time, so I need to end up this show. But I need to have you back on again so we can conclude this message, because it's such a powerful
Amen.
Message, and it do need to be concluded. So at this time,
yes.
Unfortunately, we ran out of time, so we need to wrap this up now. And so we're going to reschedule
yes.
you for another time and another date, for we can do part two
okay.
of Awake. It is revival time, and it truly is. So I thank you, Sister Phelps, for coming on tonight, bringing such a powerful
Amen.
Word to the listening audience
Amen.
And to the world, to let us remember and know, awake, it is truly revival time. So I thank you for being my
yes.
guest on tonight. Until the next time,
Amen.
Listeners, continue to be blessed. Know that God loves you. I love you, too. God loves you even more, because he showed his great love through his son, Jesus Christ, who has died
Amen.
And now is risen and from the dead.
Yes.
And he's now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercessions for the saints of God. So on tonight, we're
yes.
going to close out in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word for tonight. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your only begotten beloved Son, in whom you said you're well pleased. We thank you that he died, he rose with all power and victory in his hands, and he paid our sin debt with his own blood, and he's now sitting at your right hand making intercession for the saints on tonight. So we thank you for his blood and his great sacrifice for us. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you for your grace and mercy toward each one of us. In
Amen.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, know that
Amen.
I love you. God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Amen. Good night. God bless.
God bless.
Amen.